Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Wouldn't it be fascinating to go back 50,000 years and meet the humans and Neanderthals who walked the Earth? It's such a controversial period in our species' history because it hits at deep questions about what it really means to be human. Not just intelligence and tool use, but things like art and music. Archaeologists have found what some say are ancient flutes made of bone. And now a composer has created a piece of music that features a replica of one such instrument. That piece will be featured at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival this week. And joining me now for a preview is Yella Adama. He's professor emeritus of biology at Boston University and an adjunct scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. But for our purposes today, he's the flautist. Yella, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Heather. Great to be back.
All right. You've had a long career in marine biology, but you almost became a professional flautist. How did you get into, though, looking at ancient flutes?
The story of the ancient flute actually started with a science writer, John Pfeiffer, who came to Woods Hole every summer and interviewed various scientists, including myself. He says, "So, Yella, what's up? What's new?" And I asked him, "What was up? What's new?" And he said, "Well, you know, I know you play flute, and the British Museum has a playable replica of a 30,000-year-old flute. But no one can really make any sound out of it." So I said,
"Sounds like a challenge.
I'd like to try that." So he said, "Okay, we'll see to that." Of course, that was the last thing I expected to hear about it. But no, a month or so later, in the mail comes from England, comes this little replica. I also spent about a year in vain trying any reasonable sound out of it until I flipped the flute to my upper lip to play and played decent notes on it. And that was, of course, extremely exciting. This was, we've got it. We have a 30,000-year-old instrument.
Wow.
Unfortunately, all of this was wrong. Because I went to the British Museum after all this hoopla that everyone was so excited about. I go and look at the original and in a split second notice that the replica had added a little notch into part of the flute, which is exactly what I used to make that sound. So down the drain with everything. Oh. But at the same time, I could then take careful measurements of the original and do my own replica. And that one plays like a dream.
Well, you actually have brought with you a whole box of different flutes, as well as your, what the, most people would recognize as your modern day concert flute. But tell me about these four flutes you have here that are various different replicas and actually made out of bone in some cases.
So they take an interesting walk through the flutes. The oldest one was discovered last in my recollection, and that is the Slovenian flute called Divje Bab, after the cave, Bear Cave, where it was found in Slovenia. So I went there when I heard about it and talked to the archaeologist, and he showed me where it was dug out and all that. And I found a piece that looks more or less like this here, except it was much more broken, of course, and could not be played at all.
What you're holding is what, about 4 or 5 inches long, maybe an inch in diameter, piece of kind of brownish bone with four holes in it, and
exactly.
a plug in one end. Is the other end open?
Yep, the other end is open. So what I did as a replicator was let my imagination go to see how I could stay as close as possible to the original and reconstruct something that's playable. So we have to start making assumptions. Are these really finger holes?
Well, I mean, this whole thing is controversial, right? Because there are some archaeologists who say, you're off your rocker. This isn't an instrument at all. Some animal bit a hole in a bone, and you're making this all up.
You are so right. There is a raging debate going on, and it will not stop because you cannot decide between the two hypotheses.
Yeah, there's no way to test
that. No, we don't know. Until a second flute, or whatever you might want to call it, is found that it has similar features, we have no idea. It could be a complete freak accident that the hyena managed to make three at least holes, maybe four. We don't know. It's all part of the reconstruction.
I mean, there is science. So people have looked at this and said, oh, well, you know, on one hand, it would be extremely unlikely. You almost never see a clean puncture from a tooth through a bone. It would have been a crack. You know, that it seems unlikely that these are just bite marks.
My fair first reaction to this hypothesis was that as a zoologist, I cannot imagine any animal being able to puncture a hole in a bone. They crack it and have the marrow. But this was a juvenile bear, so the latest in this on the other side of the debate is that in a more spongy juvenile bone, maybe you can puncture these holes. the question then to me comes, why would an animal have three holes nicely in a row that happen to also fit human fingers perfectly? So let me jump now to the other hypothesis, and that is, how did we get our musical scales? We are so married to it, we grow up with it in the womb. We know what the scale is that we're going to hear when we get out. It is completely cultural determined, but some people say, no, no, there's more to it. It is really intrinsic in the human mind that this should be the scale. So my controversial hypothesis then is, no, it came all from flutes, and it is determined by the finger holes that people put in the flute. The finger holes have to match the human hand. That automatically gives you a pitch and steps, and in other words, a scale.
In other words, the amount of change in pitch or frequency of the notes is because of the distance between the finger holes on these ancient flutes, you think?
Yeah, you play the recorder, and you lift one finger, and you get the next step.
So could you play a little bit on this bone flute that you have here?
So what I will do is I will treat you to the sound of a 50,000-year-old model realized on a 100,000-year-old cave bear bone that I got from the cave bear collection in Vienna. They were ready to give it to me to try out my hypothesis.
That's gorgeous. Very haunting.
Exactly. Exactly. Everyone has the same reaction to this sound. It's so amazing. Absolutely everybody says the same thing, the same terms. So this is a fossilized bone, obviously. It's that old. And at the time the Neanderthals were supposedly playing it, it was not fossilized. And the sound becomes very different if you play it on a modern bone. So I could not find any living cave bears. So I had to make do with a black bear bone. It's a little bit smaller, but otherwise the same, reconstructed exactly the same kind of way that I did with the first one. It sounds different.
Much brighter tone.
Yeah.
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 So are these the flutes that you will be playing? There's this new composition that's going to be debuted at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. Are these the flutes that you're going to be playing?
That's right. The composer insisted that he wanted to involve bone flutes in his composition. So in the third movement of the four-movement quintet, there are sections that are to be played on these bones. The last one, the bright one, is the one that I use most because it has most resemblance to current instruments. And also it is what the Neanderthals would have heard on a fresh bone. At the very end, however, the very last notes of the whole piece, I play just a very short main theme from the composition as the end of the composition.
And that wasn't by any chance what you already played for us, was it?
No.
Would you give us a little spoiler here and play the last, this is the last note, the end of this new composition? It's an abrupt ending.
The only other thing that comes after that is one pluck by the strings. Pop, boom.
So where did the idea for this composition marrying a string quintet with bone flutes come from?
Yeah, that's a very short history compared to the flute history. A couple of years ago, Julian Lampert, a friend pianist of mine, who came to my house to stay for a while, saw a drawing I had made many years ago and a poem that goes with it. And he was fascinated by it and he stood and stared at it for a long time. And then he told me, I hear music. And I said, and you are a composer. So that's where it started. I said, okay.
And the drawing, is this drawing intended to evoke Neanderthals or ancient humans in some way? I mean, how does this connect back to the ancient flutes?
Glad you asked that question. There is definitely a link because the title of both of these is Cycles of Life. And the cycle of life in terms of human existence is in the drawing. And, of course, the cycles of life in terms of humanity and music spans maybe 100,000 years.
In case you're just joining us, I'm talking with biologist and flautist Yella Adama about a new composition that's going to be debuted at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival that features replicas of ancient Neanderthal bone flutes. What was the composition process? I mean, did he then go away and just, you know, contemplate your drawing and create his own piece of music, or was there any collaboration that happened?
It was a collaboration where I had some input, but obviously it's his composition. So we started by saying, well, let's do a flute and string quartet, which is a combination that I absolutely admire and adore, because the flute can float on top of the rich sounds of a string quartet. So that's my ideal here. And Julian realized that beautifully in the first movement of this composition. So that was the first thing to set out. What kind of a quintet will it be? Then as time progressed, he started asking more specific questions about, you know, the range that would be comfortable and the kinds of things. So they started working with that. I asked a couple of notes to be changed because I thought they were really ugly and almost impossible to play in any way.
I wonder how a composer takes that kind of criticism.
Well, he did not get mad and walk away from it. So, no, of course, we accomplished what we both thought was the right way to go. And at the same time, I also played for him, and he recorded the sounds that I can make on these different replicas. And out of the different replicas, including others that I haven't played here now, he made a composition that sort of fit the range and possibilities of these ancient flutes. And the hard part here is that they are not tuned to our A440 as a concert instrument. So to play it, and to play it in our tune, which is almost the only way people will respond to it, otherwise it sounds terrible, out of tune, and it makes you sick listening to it. So the hard part is to play more or less in tune on these old bones.
Well, you've already played some of the last notes that are played on your fossilized bone flute. There's another part of the composition that's a very different mood, and as you said, fits the brighter sound of your modern bone replica. Could you give us a taste of that?
Sure, I'll play that on the black bear bone.
Feels like listening to the birds in the forest.
It is what the composer Messiaen has used quite often in his compositions, very much in tune with nature.
Now, you're also going to be playing your modern concert flute as part of this as well, right?
That's right, yeah. That is, of course, the main menu.
That the bone flutes are just the dessert on top.
Right, yeah.
Right. And there's an improv section as well.
That is the bird bones.
Okay.
They're pretty much improvisation, but guided by the composer to still fit with what the strings are doing.
What does it feel like to be, I mean, you've played concert flute before and played with groups. What does it feel like, though, to be kind of in that setting, but playing these very evocative bone instruments that pull in so much history and possibly emotion about, you know, the very nature of what it means to be human? What does that feel like?
I am going to be extremely interested in the reaction of the public to this, because I am of split mind. I think it is evocative. At the same time, it is jarring. There is an enormous disconnect between what these little flutes can do and what a modern composer does in the 21st century. So you have to sort of jump between the two. Now, if that jump is comfortable, then it is a success. And so we'll see what happens.
Yella Adama will be performing on his replica of a 30,000-year-old bone flute, or replicas, I should say, of a 30,000-year-old bone flute for the world premiere of Julian Lampert's Quintet for Flute and String Quartet. That's going to be at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival Tuesday, August 15th and Wednesday, August 16th. You can find more information about those performances on our website. Yella, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to go out today on Yella Adama playing the opening of this new piece. Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. You can always find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab is produced by Heather Goldstone and Elsa Partan. Major support for Living Lab comes from the Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet.